everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome back to the Off the Lip Radio Show. Neil, it is show number 900 and something.
900 a lot.
900 and a lot. We're getting close to 1,000.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 1,000th show.
Schedule something big.
Something big?
Is that my idea?
I do like your idea.
Thank you.
We'll discuss that with the public later. But yeah, I think your idea could be the best idea so far. Yeah.
We'll talk to Omo about it off the show.
Let's do it. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. So tonight, everybody, we are live from the Santa Cruz boardroom. If you're tuning in on Facebook, Santa Cruz Waves page.
You
thank you.
Bring that Roscoe over here, just gonna fly by Roscoe. Just fly that thing by.
Jesus. Okay.
I think it's beautiful. You have to. Come on. Bring it over.
We haven't had it off the wall in 15 years.
That thing is a beauty.
Can you get that in there, Neil?
It's right there.
Right there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Roscoe's personal board.
It's for sale for $100,000.
You know what? It is going up for sale. If you know anybody that's into collecting the best things on the planet, that is going up for sale.
The best things on the planet.
Omar's here tonight.
Omar.
Yeah.
I've been asking Omar for a lot. Every time I see me yoga and robot, come on the show. Oh, yeah,
I got three amazing excuses right there.
Kids.
A 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 13-year-old.
That's prime time spread.
I'm coming out of the pen and I'm out now. So,
are you done? Is that it?
I'm very done.
There's not going to be a 1-year-old?
No more. I'm done. It's not possible now. Let's put it that way.
I'm proud of you because I always told my wife I only have two hands, but can only have two kids. So I was like, what am I going to do with the...
Yeah. No, that's when you feel outnumbered, dude. Seriously, that's true. You're like, what? Where is one? That's when you're serious. You're like, did I forget one? Like, I did.
None of your family's watching. Yeah. Do you have a favorite?
No. Oh, no, never. No, I'd say, you know, it's a weird thing about having three kids is like, they're very differently. I love them differently, which is weird. I never thought I could experience that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really like one more than the other, but I do like them differently.
Is there a daredevil? Weird.
Oh, yeah, dude, they're all daredevils.
Because normally there's one over-the-top daredevil.
Oh, the middle child, yeah.
She's a little charger. Young man who's here tonight.
Yeah, Kaz, my 13-year-old, yeah. He surfs all day, every day, great surfer.
He's tired from surfing.
Yeah, all he does is surf, which is amazing, yeah. He's with me a lot, which is cool.
Does he sunburn like you?
He's good. He's he got lucky, dude. Yeah, he got the wife's jeans there. So, yeah, they all did. I'm like, I'm jealous, dude. They get tan, not red.
You were a sunscreen kid. For sure. You were always so cooked.
Yeah.
You started surfing here in Pleasure Point, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah, Pleasure Point. I moved there, I believe, in 86.
Mm-hmm.
My parents moved to the corner of 30th and East Cliff, and my brother taught me how to surf when I was, 11 years, 10, 11. And then someone gave me their old kneeboard, which I had no idea was a kneeboard. Stood up on it, surfed it every single day. Broke that and then bodyboarded for about 6 months. And then another friend of mine.
You're freaking hot when you broke it?
Oh, dude, I cried, everything. I know, and this is classic story. So my mom's, she really wanted to be disciplined. You knew my mom very well.
Oh, yeah.
She's gnarly. Like
Elsa was awesome.
Awesome human, but she was also very disciplined, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, hey, for your 12th birthday present, but you have to wait. She's like, I'll get you a surfboard. I'm like, what? Sick. So Solomon Mitchell gave me his board with a broken fin, so I rode that with duct tape on it until Steve Coletta shaped me my first board for my 12th birthday present.
Wow.
Yep, and I got it.
What a cool thing.
He progressed so fast.
With that new board?
You progressed really fast. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. I watched you.
With that board?
Yeah.
With that board?
That board, I won my first contest about 3 months later. You're right. Like, you can't get me out of the water, and I was determined. I wanted to beat everyone. Like, I was like, I'm going to beat every single person. I do not care. I will be a pro surfer. And I remember I told you that once, and you laughed at me. You're like, no way, it's getting gnarly. Like, I'm like,
I met Omar's really young. He was you surfed all day. You weren't. He lived across the street from First Peak.
Yeah.
You know, and so, imagine that.
Yeah, I
was
super lucky. Yeah,
be a kid. Awesome. Yeah. Today, that's so hard to live across the street from First Peak.
No, it's insane. No, I was so lucky. So lucky, and I was super lucky that my mom let me go to home school, which is great. And then even when I started competing, like a ton, people don't understand this. And amateur surfing, if you show talent about 12 or 13, you're in 1 to 2 competitions a month. Yeah. For the rest of your life, pretty much. Yeah.
But you wanted to beat everyone anyway.
I want to beat everyone, dude.
How many? Do you know how many first place Have you gotten in your surfing career?
I have no clue.
It's a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, probably like.
Who was the hottest?
100?
100 plus, yeah. It was crazy.
Who was the hottest person to beat?
I mean, there's all these weird, like, you've known me for a long time, TC. Mm-hmm. Like my career went through all these crazy shifts and ups and downs. But when I was an amateur, I won my first contest. I was national champ at 13. I made the U.S. team at 17. And then I was second in the world for pro junior. And then I won an amateur world title. So, yeah.
How's that right there?
Or summed it up real quick. Yeah.
Like, make a pleasure point proud. Make a pleasure point proud. Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing about his house, bless your heart's mom.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That house's backyard was the locker room for like half a pleasure point.
It was
basically everybody's locker room.
It was a hangout.
There was just wetsuits and surfboards and booties sprawn about the yard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was absolutely insane. Good. And your mom, wow, bless her heart for what she did, because she welcomed it.
She did. And hey, like, I look at that style of parenting now that I'm a parent, and I'm like, dude, she's smart. Not like, it was so cool that she let us all in, but she had she had her eye on us, dude.
But she knew where you were.
She did, dude. Right.
Well,
yeah.
what was her?
Acupuncturist.
Yeah, exactly. But she also had an accent.
Yeah, no. My mom, she's from here, but she also ran private schools for a long time. So she was the founder of what's now Orchard School.
Oh, okay.
So they're also like, my dad was a physicist. And I mean, they're like, I always joke, they're very like politically aware and, you know, that kind of like 60s type of parent. Dude.
Right. They didn't surf.
Yeah. Nope. Didn't surf. Yeah. But supported you in whatever you wanted to do.
Drove you a lot of contests.
Drove me a lot of comps, dude. I think back now, that's so nice of her, dude. I love you, mom. You are the best human in the world, dude. So,
it takes a lot of work. You know, that's the thing nowadays. I mean, you didn't have coaches for a lot of that, right?
No.
Yeah,
I know.
Like,
no.
Nowadays, there's this coaching system and this whole, you know, dietitian.
I know.
Did you have a dietitian ever?
Heck no.
No, it's like, the modern surf culture these days, you know?
Oh, dude. You're Kongs.
Yeah. The slide egg roll.
Yeah, egg rolls are amazing at Kongs, dude. Don't even kid. Those are the best, dude. Yeah, no, the sport has changed so much. And, like, yeah, a lot of me and my ex-pro buddies, we love to laugh about it because it was hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, it was straight, like, gnar. Like, when I turned pro.
Stressful or was it fun?
Super fun and stressful all at once. Like imagine this. Like, you know, your team manager is like, yeah, here's a travel fund of 30K, which is probably worth, like, 200K now. And then going, okay, I want you to do the tour. Go for it. And you're just like, what? like literally, so, like, I don't, you know, want to promote this, but, like, out of all of us back then, you couldn't rent cars, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a big challenge. So my brother, God bless his heart, he gave me one of his old IDs.
Oh.
So the first, I rented like a lot of the young tour guys' cars on the world tour, dude.
More than one car.
Oh, yeah. At a time, yeah. And my brother's always so rad. He's just like, no worries, dude. He's like, because what could we do? You couldn't rent a car. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to go fly to France to do? Four events all over those countries. Can't get to them, dude. It's nuts. Yeah.
Pre-Uber.
Yeah, the pre-GPS. That was fun.
Did Kaleta remain your shaper?
He did for a long time.
A long time.
He
played around with some other stuff, but that was pretty much Steve.
No, it was Steve. Until Steve kind of, you know, stopped shaping as much. Mm-hmm. And that was probably when I was like 22-ish. So I was in the middle of my pro career, and that's when I started writing. Hamish Graham was like a guru, famous shaper, and he took me under his wing, and it was cool. Coletta was like welcoming to that. He was so rad.
Yeah,
and I still got his boards even, and clues. Mm-hmm. I would still, you know, come and buy boards off them, because, dude, Steve helped create me as a surfer. So.
Adam calls Steve's boards, Adam Rapogel, glass slippers.
I love it, dude.
Yeah. Would that work for you?
Yeah, glass slippers, dude. They're beautiful.
They're
literally, you look at them and you get one, and you just put it in your room for a while. Adam and I always talk about it. It's like, can you stare at it for a while? You're like, that thing's just beautiful. Like, what the heck? I'm going to ride that?
It's a work of art.
It is, dude. Yeah, it is. Right, yeah. Right. And I mean, of course, God bless his soul. Like, I love the dude, but it also takes about, I'd say, 7 to 10 hours to order one. So that's a process, dude. Yeah. And then it takes about seven to 10 months to get it.
Yeah. I had a couple of those.
Exactly, dude.
But it's worth the wait, you know? If you just, when they come, they are, I think, last. In fact, I have two in back. I just picked up in the last month.
Yeah. Super sick. Awesome.
So what was the point in your career where you're like, okay, so maybe it's not going to be surfing. I need to get, industry job
going. Yeah, no, that's a great story. So you know, like my surf career, and I'm super open and honest. You know, I've always been that way. Like, so I had an amazing amateur career, threw me into the pros, and I was just up and down, up and down, up and down. I think my highest ranking at the end of the year, and this is like making finals and quarters and traveling to like 15, 20 events all over the world, I ended up 113, which is really good, you know, because you really want to crack the top 50 to qualify. But that year I looked at it and I was like, dude, this is gnarly. Like, kidding me? I don't know if I can pull it. Luckily then was when like, you know, the whole marketing thing came out with servers. So I was super lucky. So I
still magazines.
Yes.
Still photo incentive.
Yes, exactly. So I was able to jump into that, and then my career like went really well. Like, it started going better. And the funny thing is, like, people were like, how did that happen? Literally, I had a couple of team managers and they're like, oh, I think if you stop competing, that might be better for your career. We'll pay you more. So I was like, you're 19, 20, you're like, yeah, that sounds killer.
Well, there's always been a free surfing
element
that you can still make a living to free surf.
Totally.
But you also have to work hard
as well. Yeah,
you're calling photographers. You're hustling to get in front of a lens.
You do. Yeah, and then like they want to shoot you. Like, you have to like prove yourself to them first. That's an interesting thing. I think the misconception about this whole era of marketing was like, you had to, you know, go to the photographer. But if you're not going to pull into a 10, 15 foot wave, they're not going to go to the country with you.
Right.
They want guys that'll go rush and rip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all they want. They're like, you know, hardcore about that. You know. But, you know, transitioning that into my career was cool because I got to know so many people.
Right.
Like, I feel so lucky. And so I feel like, you know, like, you know, I knew so many Terry Campions, you know, I knew all the reps. Just because I became this marketing person that was, you know, at all the trade shows because my companies would pay me to go, you know, and like I would hang out and like high five everyone.
You got your circle.
I had my circle, dude. Yeah. Right. So I think I was like 28, and that's when I was commentating a lot too.
Oh, so, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Like, I know
whole other aspect of your
I know. So my whole like life sounds a little crazy.
Did you have more equipment than we do?
What's that?
Did you have more equipment than we do?
Yeah. Not a phone. Yeah. No, but probably like not as good. To be honest. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. So I commentated X Games twice.
Mm-hmm.
I did the Triple Crown twice.
Mm-hmm.
I did Fiji for the World Tour. I did Pipe Masters.
You had a radio show?
I did a radio show at KMBR.
KMBR
for 6 years. Every Saturday I drove there.
Wow.
That was sick, dude, because we get the coolest guests, like Will Ferrell and like just, you know, anyone going through the building is coming in, like, so mental.
We don't get Will Ferrell.
Dude, that was so cool, yeah. I got to hang with The Rock and, like, drink with them and, like, interview them. Like, that was a cool part of my life. Sorry to get like, crazy in my world.
Yeah.
But so, you know, after doing all that commentating and whatnot, like, I there was a point when I was like, this is gnarly. Like, I'm exhausted, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then also what people don't understand is, like, it's like one event or one like gig to another, you know, there's no like major consistency, and it's also competitive, dude. Mm-hmm. So it's gnarly.
Well, I talked to Pete Mel about it. I see him at the back door.
It's gnarly.
And it's always unknown.
Yeah. No. And it's
weird. You're waiting for the call. It doesn't come. You're like, oh, maybe they don't like me anymore.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And dude, they'll say stuff that like super hurtful, you know? And so you have to learn how to like pull yourself out of your body and try to like be okay with it, you know? Like, hey, dude, yeah, you're that age demographic. Yeah, no.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
For your commentating, or did you leave before the day?
I left before.
Okay.
Luckily, yeah, I left, like, I was like, because we were going gig to gig to gig, and I was like, this is exhausting, dude. Like, I don't even know when, I don't know if I'm going to do Triple Crown, you know? Like, I don't know if I'm going to go to Fiji again. I don't know if I'm going to do the CT commentating or I'm going to do the QS. And then now all of a sudden surfing's out of the X Games. I'm not doing that, you know? And I felt this very, like, unsettled thing that I battled for a while.
Was that late 20s?
I was 28 years old. Yeah. So right in that era. It was kind of like in the 2000, I'd say 8-ish zone, somewhere in there. Yeah. And that's when I started like working a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And with this dude, you know, like, yeah, I'd be like, whoa, dude, yeah. Yeah, you know?
No, I mean, it was a natural progression. And at the time, other people were doing it too.
They were, yeah.
You know,
it was
especially just people that we saw surfing all the time.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of, it's a normal industry thing.
Yeah.
You want to stay in it, so you sell stuff or you run something.
Totally.
You know, and so that's kind of what you end up doing. And so, and you jumped right in and had success.
I was lucky.
You've been with Oakley.
Yeah, for a long
time. How long now?
Too crazy. They signed me when I was 14 years old. That was my first paying sponsor, dude.
Do you have like a diamond Oakley watch?
Dude, I got some funny stuff. Okay. I saved some funny ass stuff. Like,
I was gonna say.
Yeah, no, this is some cool stuff. But yeah, no, this is an epic story. So, financially, no money, right? You know, mm-hmm. And at age 14, after I won nationals and like proved myself the world. Adam Rapogel and Chris Gallagher knock on my door at the point, and they're like, "We picked you." And I'm sitting there, I'm a Grom, I'm like nervous, I'm shaking. You picked me for what, dude? Like, what? And they're like, Oakley wants to give one kid money in this town to help support him. And I'm like, whoa. And they gave me Scott Farnsworth card. He's like a legend there.
Yeah, right.
And I'm looking at it going, what? I got to call this guy? Are you kidding me, dude? I'll call him this week. You know,
Mr. Oakley.
Yeah, he's a man, dude. So, yeah, I called him, and they signed me for $250 a year. That's a lot of money back then. No, my mom signed the contract because I wasn't allowed to. And then they flew up and took me to dinner at the Crow's Nest, which I think is funny because that probably cost more.
I know, right? Yeah, they did.
I'm like, party, dude. I know.
Yeah, that's where the budget went.
Yeah, that's where
Omar's budget went. Is for the flight and the dinner. Whatever left over, he gets.
Yeah, that's how long I've been with Oakley. They, ever since I left them, to be honest, I left them for a second because my friend started Von Zipper.
Oh, right.
And I was very passionate about those guys. They're just a great group of humans.
Yeah, we got Von Zipper over here.
Dude,
they're
sick, dude.
They're still good to deal with.
Yeah, great industry icon, you know? So now I'm an Oakley medical sales rep, which is bizarre, right? So that's how many like shifts my career has done.
When you say medical, prescription, right?
Yeah, prescription,
more or less.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which it must be popular as all can be, right?
We're going to be a newest customer.
I know. Dude, you guys are blind.
What do you got?
I don't know.
I know.
They're my wives.
I know. Oh my gosh.
I was like, hang on.
You got to be at least a guy off your off. At least, dude. At least.
And it's been going smooth for you, right? You're doing?
No, it's really, it's awesome. And like, you saw me get into repping.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, getting into repping back then was, it was hard, dude.
You worked your way up.
Yeah, you did. You did. Like, it was hilarious. Like, the rookies, it was funny. Remember, like, I think I saw you below ASR, and it was the first time I had clothing racks, dude. And you looked at me, and you're like, they suck, huh? And I'm like, dude, these are horrible. I'm like, shoving them in the back of my car. He's all, dude, yeah, they're a nightmare, Omar.
But look.
No, it worked out.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah,
you know?
We work hard, and a lot of, like, awesome relationships, like you helped me a lot. I actually still have it, dude. You wrote the first article about me. I should have brought it tonight.
It's called
The Runt Report.
The Runt,
what was it called?
The Runt Report for Wave Action. I have the sickest mag collection.
Mm-hmm.
I saved it, dude. My son read it the other night. He's like, that's funny.
Well, you know, it's, you know, at that time I was surfing every day, right? We all were.
Yeah.
And you just paddle out and got your spot in the lineup when way younger than most. You know, AR did it during his rise up. There's people who do that. And you were ripping it. I took notice. I put you on the Victory wetsuit team.
No, dude, you were my second sponsor.
Yeah,
second,
right, like, off the bat.
Steve Coletta, first sponsor. You're my second.
Yeah.
Like, literally, both you guys supported me, Block Surf and Victory.
Right, yeah.
It was sick. And I would just, it was so cool. Like, you go to your house, dude, and it was like, it was this epicenter of positivity, right? Because your wife was there, and you were just like, you know, you're just like, go surf, guys, go. Like, to where, honestly, awesome. Like, saved our lives, honestly.
And he'd win every contest.
Yeah,
he won a bunch of contests.
You gotta win them all.
Yeah, seriously.
You
took
what you wanted with a big
hand. I was somewhat determined. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think so. No, no. Well, here's the thing is that I would say that you're quieter than most.
Yeah, I was. I was really quiet.
Yeah, you're quieter than most, and you're so even in the lineup, you were a little more stealthy and would hustle, and your arms went around fast.
Yeah,
you know?
Quick.
Where'd you meet your wife?
Where'd I meet my wife? Yeah. You guys are gonna love this. I was DJing. That's another crazy,
that's the other
crazy part
DJ.
Of my life. Yeah,
she,
dude.
We
yeah.
Know that she's always next to me.
Yeah, another DJ. Yeah,
well, you played a bunch of games.
I did.
Where were you DJing at when you met her?
Clouds, the old Clouds downtown. Clouds. Yeah.
With your brother, right?
Yeah, I did it with my brother for a while. This is another.
Suitors, right?
Yeah. It's hard, like, my life is bizarre. People will complain, you did that? What the heck?
Was Suitor?
No, downtown.
Downtown. downtown. Yeah, downtown.
He was like DJ guy.
I was the first resident DJ there ever. Yeah, it was hilarious, dude. Yeah,
he had a trailer full of gear.
Oh, I had so much gear.
No, he would tow around a trailer.
I was nuts. No, we headlined the Catalyst for New Year's. That was crazy, dude. Like I was tripping on that one, dude. Well, yeah, so DJing, my brother
fell for the band.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I met her there. No, it was funny because she kind of wrote me off. Like, she's like, one of my good friends, his wife is like, you got to meet this awesome friend of mine. And she brought her down there, and of course, my wife's like, oh, God, there's this annoying DJ guy, probably, you know, like, oh, God, yeah, no, but I remembered her name, and like, my friends would always tease me, I'm not good with names, right. And so they're always teasing me, like, oh, you must have really noticed this woman, and I always tell her that, I'm like, I couldn't remember anyone's name, and I literally, like, remembered her name and said that to my friend and to his now wife,
mm-hmm.
And they're like, whoa, this is, maybe it's so dumb. Work out, you know? Hmm. And yeah, we dated and got married, so yeah.
Well,
long story short.
that's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So Omar DJ mashups at ASR or Surf Expo 1 year.
Oh, you did trade shows too?
Oh yeah, I did trade shows, yeah.
So you were the free DJ?
Oh dude, this is a funny thing too. I was doing trade shows in Japan and France, dude. The companies were like, they were loving this. They're like, it was funny because they're like, whoa, he can commentate, DJ, and he's well known in the surf industry. They're sending me all over the world, dude.
Wow.
It was classic.
So I promoted the show a week, right? So somebody wrote, hey, you got to ask Omar this.
Oh, I think I saw that.
Remember this. Don't forget it.
Oh, no.
I'm scared,
dude.
Chocolate lab toe-ins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah.
What was that? I won't.
People are gonna get dizzy if I'm confused with my life. Like, dude, I swear I'm
another,
not.
Just another chapter.
Yeah, another chapter. Yeah.
Chocolate lab
towing. What are chocolate lab towing?
Okay. So the tarp surfing, dude.
Oh,
tarp surfing era. Right. Yeah. So I think that video is at 3.5 million now or something higher even. Yeah. So that's another crazy story.
Were you in the commercial?
Yes, so dude, and you, this is all I can make my stories quick. So this one's great. So I, in this whole like segment into being a sales rep,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to start a media company. So me and my partner were doing viral videos for SurfTech and some other companies,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, dude, we need like a buzz. Like, we got to create a buzz. And Homer calls me, dude, and he's all, dude, bro, I've been doing the craziest stuff ever. I'm like, what? Tarp surfing. Shh, don't tell anyone. Like, I'm like, what?
He's
all, meet me here. And I meet him there. I'm all, this is genius, bro. This is like the funniest thing I've ever seen. He's dressed up. He had a wig on. And he's pulling these huge tarp barrels. And I'm like, I go to my partner who's at Ruse Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
Chris Killen, amazing, talented guy. And I'm like, bro, you got to see what my Homer's doing. And we look. And he's all, we're making a viral video. This is so funny. This is hilarious, dude. So we made the viral video. And then we strategically launched it as like a release, and it mm-hmm. stuck. So I called all my buddies. Wow. I called SF Gate, my friend there, Transworld. I'm all, guys, post this tonight, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted it, and the thing went viral next day. All over the world. Mountain Dew contacted us. They did a commercial.
Did a commercial.
Yeah.
Went national.
So
tarp surfing world championship that year.
Yep. Yeah. We did a tarp tour.
We did a tarp tour.
We did a tarp tour, dude.
Ask you a question.
Yeah.
Ask you a question.
Yeah, get over here, guys. Yeah.
Dad, can you give me your phone after, too?
Sure. What's it? This is my son, Kaz. Yeah.
What's your name, young man?
Kaz.
You surf today?
Yeah.
Where?
Mo.
How was it?
Secret spot.
Secret spot.
Don't tell anyone.
What? How was it?
Secret spot?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was pretty fun. It was kind of small.
Did you compete in some contests?
A little bit.
How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like. Have you come first yet in the contest?
No, I got third.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
He's good, yeah. He's getting there.
Do you burn your dad very often?
All the time.
Yeah, yeah. He does this. Dad! And I'm like, okay, fine. Take it away. No, finally, we made a rule, though. He's getting so many waves. I'm like, dad gets one.
That's like the best part of having a dad when you surf with them. Like, that's like the good part about having a good surfing dad. You get to burn them on good waves.
Does Quinn do that to you?
Yeah, Quinn burns me every single wave.
Right, yeah. And that's how it goes.
And then turns around and just laughs at you.
So that's the kid thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Huh.
That's so good.
Yep.
Do you know that your dad was a famous surfer?
Yeah.
Ish, dude, ish. Okay.
Yeah. Is that your plan? Are you going to surf to be...
I want to, yeah.
Be a well-known surfer from Santa Cruz?
I hope, yeah.
So practice.
Yeah, practice.
And do you practice math, too?
No, a little bit.
You gotta practice surfing a like Mac.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, come on.
What board you riding?
I'm riding Boris.
Yep, Chris Boris. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What size? How big is it?
It's 5'2", 3".
Yeah.
Yeah, 5'2", 3".
Yeah. We don't ride a 5'2" or 5'3" TC.
No. No, that's just like 6 or 7 inches thick. Yeah.
Is there anything better than surfing with your dad? Anything more fun than surfing with your dad?
No, not really.
Attaboy. Oh, is there anything? I know, Mark. Is there anything more fun than surfing with your kid?
No, nothing.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But my daughter surfed too. Yeah, that's pretty sick too. Mm-hmm. Honestly, mm-hmm. if I have them all three out, dude, I'm like, whoa, like this is another world.
So what we're gonna have to do here? What we gonna have to do? We're starting to go with the show. We have to do decade by decade, like we did with Andrini.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's like,
right.
He's got, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You're going to come back.
Let's do it.
Well, we're missing like 6 chapters of Omar.
Yeah,
even tonight, I was like, that's right, DJ Omar. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, that was fun, dude. No, I think I played a couple of your parties.
I'm sure, of course you did.
Stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Did you get more girls surfing or DJing?
Oh, it's no comment on that.
Yeah.
No way.
Is your wife watching right now? Yeah. He's an angel.
I will say this, though. I became buddies with some really famous DJs. And I went to Ibiza to hang out with a couple of them, and they actually said, "How do surfers get so many chicks?"
Wow!
The DJ's asking
you.
They
surfer
would say that. They're like, "Dude," but that was when Kelly Slater was with Pam, like all these. Yeah, and they were tripping on this. They're like, and I'm like, "Well, I don't know, tan bodies. I don't know, like, I don't know." But
so a whole bunch of surfers were making money then too.
That's true. They made a lot of money, dude. Yeah, that's true too.
And a DJ, it's a lock.
Well, then Omar's, that's dog's life right there.
I know.
Yeah. Who did name you O-Dog?
Oh, gosh. So, actually, Kieran Horn and Homer Hennard.
They called you that?
Yeah, they named
O-Dog?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that kind of stuck.
It did. It stuck gnarly. Yeah. Yeah, but
you're cool with that, obviously.
Yeah.
But
that's
O-Dog.
Yeah.
It just changed. Yeah. I mean, you were like Omar forever.
Forever, yeah.
But then suddenly O-Dog came in
there. Yeah, no, they it's a rite of passage in this town, right?
You get a nickname.
Yeah, you had to.
I looked up the name like 12 times this week because I spelled it correctly.
I know. I know.
ETCACHEVRRY.
Yeah. I think the companies too got sick. They just wanted a nickname. They're like, dude, your last name is brutal.
Yeah.
Commentators too. They're like, no more.
Either a nickname or Hollywood name. You got to get one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
See, how old are you, Omar?
I'm 47 years old.
He's getting close.
Getting up there.
But there's a couple things we can ask him. One I'd like to ask you is this a great question that we do ask guests? Is there a day that you were surfing that is like your most memorable?
Gosh, a day that I'm, there's a few. And one of them was a contest, which sounds so weird, but it was really cool. And I miss Andy Irons, you know, we were buddies and we were the same age and we competed as amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the US Open, right before the pro final, they would do the junior final. So it was a crowd of like, I think it was like 100,000 people. And here's the weird part. I was alone.
Big crowd.
I was alone. I was 17. I drove down by myself. Like, that's the way it was. And no mom, no anyone there. And I remember like tripping. And I was super into Dan Mielman books, like training.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he's like, you got to face your fears. And I still have this picture and I show it to my kids. Like right before the final, I was shaking. I was so freaked out. And I walked into the pier and I took a picture of the crowd. And I walked back and I settled down.
Hmm.
And like that memory is so vivid and paddling out and Andy was out there. And like that is just like, I can still like remember like the smell.
Wow.
It's just bizarre, you know.
Is that a cool trophy?
It's only, I saved 2 trophies.
Yeah, it's that's one of them.
Yep. Yep. And that's a second, dude.
But still, prestigious
Andy,
event,
dude.
Right?
Yeah. Come on. Andy, man, he's a man, dude.
Huh, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you miss him today?
I do. His wife's so nice and... Yeah, it's really, really sad. He's an amazing human.
Yeah.
Well, we had Adam on. We asked him that question. He cold water win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he said, "But surfing with my kids."
Yeah.
You know, he threw that one in.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I think it was like $2,000. It wasn't a big purse.
Yes,
that year,
yes.
You know?
But no, surfing with my kids too. Like I said earlier, like I get chills. Like when I'm sitting in the lineup and I see their heads, I'm like, whoa, this is almost overwhelming.
And I think we can ask the question, but we can just maybe, we normally ask our seasoned guests
their
favorite decade and why. But because, I mean, being that you have like, you know, four decades, whatever. Yeah. But is there a period of time that you, is like your favorite?
Favorite? Gosh, you know what? I'm the type of person, I want it to get better. Like, honestly, yeah. So I feel like it's been more adventurous, it's been getting better every decade. So right now I'm in an awesome decade.
That's common too.
Yeah.
It's, I would say about half of our guests say that. Yeah. And then the 80s are always big. And for the older dudes, there's a time when there was no surfers.
Yeah.
That it was, they always go, oh my God, the 60s in Santa Cruz were insane.
Yeah, right.
We just did drugs and surfed and it was awesome. You know?
Yeah.
They did a full fry
pot
series on
Bobby
Grady, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just sweetheart guy, gentleman.
Mm.
So yes. I paddle over to him the other day at Sharks, and he comes around and goes, Neil, I have 1 fucking hour. I'm surfing. Don't talk to me.
I love that.
Shit, right? I gotta leave.
He treats it like a contest.
No way.
It's like a
heat. It's awesome.
I'm driving to Santa Barbara. So
I love it.
Leave me alone. Don't talk to me.
Wow. No, that's how I'm with kids. I get that, dude. Like, seriously, my friend, I'll say, I'm like, guys, I got a 1 hour window. Yeah. I'm like, come on. They'll look at me like, okay, no worries.
Well, and I mean, you have so much going on. How much time do you get in the water these days?
I get to surf when the waves are good, probably 3 to 4 times a week. But I've also, over the last couple of years, I started coaching
as
a professional surf coach. Mm-hmm. So that's been amazing. So now that's brought me closer to the ocean again. So I got 32 kids in my program. I got 20 kids consistently, and they're so good.
Wow.
And my goal is to create another CT surfer from this town, because I feel like it's been a little soft for a few years, you know, like, and the talent, a lot of people joke and call it the pandemic generation, but dude, the kids are really good. Like, they're super good. I want to take them.
What's their goals? What's those kids' goals? Or do you, do you coach them? This is what your goal should be.
I do. So the thing I started is called Etch Surf. You can go to etchsurf.com and check it out. And so I call it the journey, you know, and Brad Gerlach and I, we collaborate a lot. He's a close friend of mine. He helped me a lot in my life. He's probably one of the most successful surf coaches in the world.
Yeah, he kills it.
Kills it. You set goals, but you look at the journey, we call it, right? So it's like, hey, I want to hit all these goals, but let's look at the big picture, right? So therefore, you're not getting overly flustered in certain periods of your life. You know, and that can incorporate a lot of different things, you know. For example, a lot of people don't know, during this start of my pro career, I was going to Cabrillo at 16 years old, taking full load of classes. Kieran Horn, at the peak of his career, he was going to Santa Clara State. You know, like, you can do it all. You can. Mm-hmm. So you know, but looking at those goals and kind of firing away at them, I think, is a really good practice for young athletes. Yeah.
Do you wish you had that?
I do, dude. I do.
I mean, in hindsight,
my God.
Yeah, the structure.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like you said, you have these trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Are you trying to prepare kids for when, like, they have 2 or 3 bad losses?
Yes.
Then don't get down. It's like the big picture.
Yes. Yeah. Because I think a lot of parents and young athletes get so wrapped up in the moment that they forget what they're really doing. You know, they're just so like, oh my gosh, my kid lost and this was nationals. You're like, dude, when they're winning a CT in 10 years, is anyone going to talk about that he at nationals?
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
You know, so
is that like a Dane Reynolds thing? Like, quitting when you're good, but because you don't think you're good or something? Is that?
I think our sport has a lot of like self-doubt involved. Like you talk about it, I think skateboarding and surfing are gnarly. Because like you go and you do it, and you do it, and everyone's watching you, whether it's from the beach, the cliff, the half pipe, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Dude, what sport's that? Like,
that's why snowboarding is the best, because you go hide in a canyon somewhere and no one sees you.
Yes,
you're all by yourself. You'll honk anything.
I do.
No one sees you fail.
If you're on a team, you got this whole team backing you up, right? You got this whole but surfing's like, you're alone. It's you. It's your body. It's your sport. Like. I mean, I can only imagine. I know for me or anyone, it can create a lot of like self-doubt and insecurities, you know?
Well, and to be successful, you have to catch waves.
Yeah.
You don't catch the skate park.
You don't
catch the mountain bike trail.
True.
But surfing is so unique because your you know, totally judged by your results, whether it's free surfing the photos, whether it's your video parts, or whether it's your contest.
Yeah.
All of it requires you to goddamn catch a wave.
Dude, gnarly, got Mother Nature involved. Yeah, like, I was in Hawaii hanging out with some great coaches that I admire, Lev Hodel, Chris Gallagher, like that. I really love that community. These are guys I looked up to. You know, and Gally's so
killing it as a coach, too.
Killing it. And he's so funny, though. He looks at me, and he's just like, looks at my son, and he's like, so you're going to try to get good at surfing, huh? He's like, yeah, so there's three hard sports, golf, surfing, and skateboarding. He's like, and I was like, gosh, that's messed up. It's kind of true. It's like, gnarly. It's just like, you know, elements, wind, all involved. It's yourself. There's no one else.
Do you remember the surf contest here for the kid, high school kids, the game?
Yes.
Remember that?
Brad Gerlach,
I coached Harbor High, and Brad Gerlach was our coach.
Yeah.
And people looked up to this. The kids thought he was a rock star.
Oh, he's so fun, dude.
Gerlach's funny and super into it and has a great surfing career. He was legendary.
No, he's rad too, and I talked to him time on the phone. He's in Huntington now. He was living in Australia for a long time. He has two little kids, and he's driven to get kids to go all the way, which is super fun to see. Mm-hmm. You know, he's looking and he looks way down the line. He's like, he'll be like, yeah, Omar, like. World title, you think? And I'm like, kid's like 17, dude. Like, I don't know. We'll go with it. We'll go into that. And I'll go, maybe. Yeah, you're right. That's a good call, Brad. But of course, he'd probably know.
That's so classic.
That's awesome.
Well, it's amazing how many chapters are in your book, Omar.
Thanks, dude.
You know?
Thanks.
Yeah. And so, you seem to have done well.
I'm going
to
come back, bud.
Yeah,
you're gonna go home and go, oh, should have talked about that, should have talked about that, and then you're gonna come back.
We'll get you back in the show.
I'd love to.
Yeah, it's been great to catch up, and it took a long time, but we're glad you came.
Dude,
yeah,
thank you.
O-Dog in
so
the house.
Much,
yeah.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and
thanks to your wife, too, because she's taking care of the kids.
She does. Just melt down the clock, dude. Yeah.
Is your phone buzzing right
not
now?
Not yet, dude.
I'm here.
I can feel the yelling.
The tension
right
now?
Yeah, right. No. I can feel it, and it's like a mile away, dude. No.
All right. Not. Well, it was great to have you here.
Thank you.
Omar Echeverry in the house. Thank you so much, Omar. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tyler Fox, thanks for having us on Santa Cruz Waves.
Yep.
Neil, we'll be back next week.
Next week with, I don't remember.
There's something.
No,
something.
We're booked through July.
We're booked through July, folks. Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks, Omar.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.